This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Today was the second day of George Pell's appeal against his conviction for child sex offences. The disgraced ex-cardinal was sentenced to 6 years in prison in March for assaulting two choir boys at Melbourne St Patrick Cathedral in the 1990s. On Wednesday, Pell's barrister made the case for why his sentence should be overturned. Today, the prosecution presented their case. Covering the trial on behalf of website The New Daily, journalist Lucy Morris Ma spoke with the Informer earlier about the appeal.
What are the grounds that George Pell is challenging his conviction on?
So there's one main ground that they've really focused on in these 2 days of the appeal, which is quite straightforward. It is literally that the jury was an error because it was unsafe and unsatisfactory, that they relied mostly, the defence argues, on the fact it was one witness against Pell, the accuser, the surviving choir boy against Pell, and that there wasn't anyone, and it's true, there wasn't anyone who heard the attack, the one who saw it, he didn't tell anyone at the time, and they're saying that's not fair. Although advocates, of course, say, you know, of course it should be okay that, you know, the word of one survivor, one victim can go against someone, especially someone powerful. So there's got a lot of controversy around that ground. The other two are more technical points, that the jury weren't allowed to see a video the defence wanted to play, which was sort of an animation that court reporters dubbed Pac-Man video, because it was moving dots around the cathedral where the archbishop was, where the choir was, where the staff were, and so they weren't allowed to play that video. So that's more of a technicality. And then the third one is also a technicality. It's that they say that Pell did not put in his make his arraignment, which is putting in his not guilty pleas in front of his sworn in jury. Now, I was there, and what he did make his pleas, but the jury was still downstairs in the impanelment room among the 200 who they were being chosen from. So they did see him make that plea, but they weren't yet sworn in. So again, that's a very technical argument. They didn't really spend a lot of time on that. It was more the fact it was unsafe. This accuser, they say, is lying.
What did you think of the case that George Pell's barrister made and the arguments that he put forward?
He was doing his job as his barrister. You know, he was saying that the accuser lied and it was a fantasy, and that he, as he said the words, it was physically impossible for Pell to have committed the attack, because he said as archbishop, when he'd just started in 1996, he was the new archbishop, and it was his flair and his routine to actually spend a lot of time on the steps speaking to parishioners after Sunday solemn mass, when this attack was supposed to have happened in the back room in the sacristy, and he thinks it's impossible that he would be on the steps and also be able to be attacking two choir boys as well. So he was saying it was physically impossible, that it was a lie from the accuser. There were other grounds as well, but you know, he did argue very passionately that it was basically a miscarriage of justice, and Pell should be set free.
How did the Crown respond to Pell's challenge, and what stood out about it?
The Crown did that from today. That was the second day. They started off, it was Barrister Christopher Boyce, and he didn't actually cover the trial case. He's an appeals specialist. Sat next to him was Mark Gibson, who was the lead barrister for the Crown in the trials. He basically was really arguing that the accuser was compelling. He was telling the truth. He should be believed, and that's good enough. He also, when the judges questioned, well, look, there were witnesses who were staff of the cathedral who claimed that they were always with Pell. You know, they would help him with his robes. They would be with him. And he then got into very extensive legal argument about how there was evidence in the trial. These witnesses may have been trying to help the defence, that they were sort of losing their memories. They were slightly older. So there was a lot of legal argument there. There was a little bit of media commentary today that the Christopher Boyce was struggling a little bit. I don't think he had a different style. He's new to the case, and it probably is quite an overwhelming case to do. But I don't think, I think with judges, they're used to barristers having different styles. They're used to barristers being nervous. The world's media was here from all over, and there's people listening on the internet. I think that despite he may not have performed as well as he would like, but I think they still would have heard the argument.
Okay, my last question is that a headline today was that the Crown accidentally named Pell's victim. Do you think that this will impact proceedings?
No, because even though he did mention him, we heard that, and I was in the media room because the barrister had such a quiet voice, we actually had to go to the media room to try and hear it on the recording. We did hear that, and we all gasped and said, oh my, you know, we all realised how serious that was straight away. But then the judge immediately sort of stopped proceedings, everything went quiet, and we were sort of really worried. And then we heard her actually say it's okay because there was a delay in the internet stream, and so they managed to mute it in time. So it's a good job they had a delay, because that is very serious, because this accuser has always said, he has made a couple of public statements, but he's always said he does not want to be named.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That was Lucy Morris-Marr joining us here on The Informer. Lucy is writing a book, Fallen, the inside story of the secret trial and conviction of Cardinal George Pell, that will be out next September.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.